This is the John Batchelor Show. I'm Gordon Chang with Chris Reback. And Chris, we're going to Asia. In Asia, there are more than 2,300 languages. In India alone, there are 2,000 ethnic groups. And the Philippines, well, the Philippines has more in common with Mexico than it does with neighboring Japan. So the question is there a single Asian voice? To get an answer to that question, we're going to talk to Mark Clifford, the co-author of Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs, Views of Asia's Next Generation. So, Mark, is there a single Asian voice?
There's not a single Asian voice, but, Gordon, I think you mentioned some very interesting statistics, and what's most prominent among the young Asians who wrote for our book is the yearning for a more cohesive Asian voice, the desire to have Asia knit together to build the sort of structures we've seen in Europe, where in Europe, of course, you had centuries of conflict, and despite the problems today, Europe is a pretty peaceful, prosperous place. And we see that that desire among young Asians in a way that we wouldn't have seen 20 or 30 years ago in Asia, when a lot of conflicts were still raging or had just recently ended. So I think there's some interesting transformation, some interesting change. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of business and economic and financial integration in Asia, but no, it's a very, very diverse place. It's home to almost half the people in the world, and as you said, a lot of different languages, a lot of different cultures.
Mark, it's a fascinating book that you've put together, and your ability to bring together these young voices under one, you know, one cover is fantastic. You talk about, or we read about, the kind of common views among Asia's youth around government, faith in government, around technology. Yet at the same time, an awareness, you wrote, of the competing priorities of Asia's diverse ethnic groups. What are the competing priorities?
I'm sorry, losing you a little bit, but I think the common priorities are issues like good, clean governance, an end to corruption, continued economic growth, but at the same time, respect for local cultures. But as I said, there's an increasing regional identity. Korean soap operas are watched throughout Southeast Asia. They're very popular in Thailand, among many other places, in Malaysia. So, I think we're seeing a breaking down of many of the traditional barriers that have kept, what's the world's most populous continent, separated for so many centuries. Obviously, between East Asia, I sit in Hong Kong, and, say, Saudi Arabia, it's a long way. It's almost as close for me to fly to San Francisco as to Riyadh. So there's not the same commonality across the entire region. But I think East Asia, because of the tremendous economic growth we've seen over the past half century, is starting to see people travel more, as I say, watch movies, soap operas, fashions. And I think that's terrific. And thank you for the kind words about the book. But I think what's most impressive is all these young Asians who just have a very, very different sense of the region than their parents would have. When their parents, of course, had a much more parochial, narrow-minded, you know, focus on family, caste, clan, tribe. And that's not ended, of course, but it is starting to break down.
We're talking to Mark Clifford, the co-author of Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs. Mark, you mentioned how your people in Asia talk about Europe and their common identity. And yet in Asia, of course, people watch Korean soap operas and they really love Japanese comic books. But we also have some real territorial conflicts. You have talked about this in the past, about how China seems to be taking on its neighbors. Doesn't that seem to undercut what you've been talking about? And that, at least in the region, you see both factors putting countries together and factors tearing countries apart.
You're absolutely right. Tearing countries apart might be a little too strong, at least for East Asia. But on the one hand, we've got more and more economic integration. We have trade agreements. China, of course, joined the WTO a little more than a decade ago. China has a very far-reaching trade agreement with the Southeast Asian bloc called ASEAN, Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And at the same time, neighbors of China and also India are understandably wary of the power and the might of these two giant countries. I think China in particular has given many people, and certainly many of the young essayists in our book, a lot to think about. Because on the one hand, they want China to rise. It'll be good for the whole region. Many of them are overseas Chinese. They feel great about the country standing on its feet again. On the other hand, China has not been very explicit about what its ambitions are in the region, particularly in the maritime regions. And there's a standoff that's been going on in the South China Sea between Philippines and the Philippines and China over disputed territories that could hold large reserves of oil and gas. And just now, we've got Russia's decision to just in the last day or two to charge the captains of two Chinese fishing boats. So China has been really pushing and has been involved in standoffs with Japan, Korea, Russia, Philippines, Vietnam in the waters. And I think, you know, the whole world has to take rise of China. I know that's something that your show is concerned with, that a lot of people in the States are concerned with. But China's neighbors, of course, are the ones that are really right on the front line. So it cuts both ways. I think young people have often a very hopeful, idealistic sense of how the region can be knit together. But the reality on the ground, the day-to-day reality of fishing boats and navies butting up against each other, often literally. There were shots fired in the Russian-Chinese incident I mentioned. It could be that a Chinese sailor has been killed. That hasn't been confirmed. But the day-to-day reality is not quite as rosy as some of our essayists would like it to be.
Mark Clifford is Executive Director of Asia Business Council and co-author of the book Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs, Views of Asia's Next Generation. Of the next generation, and on this idea of Asia, Asian identity that Gordon has raised, Mark, do the so-called Tiger Cubs have a greater acceptance of other cultures, and in particular other Asian cultures, than the previous generation did?
Hard to quantify, but my gut sense is yes, and certainly that's what they say in the essays that they wrote for this book, which I should say was based on a contest we ran. We got about 400 entrants asking young Asians to talk about the biggest problems facing the region, and certainly in terms of what they write, and I would say in terms of anecdotally what I see from their behavior. I've been in the region for 25 years, and certainly the degree of travel, the degree we talked before, Gordon talked about the Japanese comic books, the manga, the Korean soap operas, the K-pop, the Korean pop stars. There certainly seems to be much more sort of natural integration of other cultures into day-to-day life on the part of young Asians. I am probably talking about the middle and upper middle class Asians here. I'm not talking about the, you know, very large number of people who are still in rural areas who are growing up on, you know, in very, very different circumstances. I'm talking about young urban Asians.
You know, Mark, it's very interesting you talk about the upper middle class and the middle class, because in Singapore, you've got a middle class society. It's multicultural. You've got Indians, Malays, Chinese, and it seems to be all held together, and there is some sort of Singapore identity, right?
Absolutely, and I think that's something where, you know, it's a fairly small country. The population's 5 million people. It's really a city-state, led, of course, by the legendary Lee Kuan Yew, who was really the founder of the country and took it to independence in the early 1960s. They work very, very hard on national identity. That's something other countries have also, with varying degrees of success, worked on. As Gordon, you may know, in Hong Kong we have a big debate right now about the degree to which we are part of China, of the People's Republic of China, and the degree to which that should be inculcated in schools. With some people who are more critical of the Chinese Communist Party decrying this as brainwashing, with of course many of the political leaderships trying to integrate Hong Kong more closely with China. So the whole politics of national identity, I think, are really important in Asia, and I think there's been, for the most part, you mentioned Singapore, but there's been tremendous work on that done in the last half century. I mean, yeah. 50 years ago, most of these countries didn't exist, and yeah. So the kind of work that Lee Kuan Yew and other leaders have done to create these strong nation states, I think, is really impressive.
The book is Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs by Mark Clifford. I'm Gordon Chang with Chris Reback, and this, from New York, is The John Batchelor Show.
Talk radio that makes you think. More of The John Batchelor Show coming up on 77 WABC.